Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer and author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Raising Chickens. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Tuesday, September 13th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. If you're listening live right now, all you have to do is scroll down a little bit on your computer screen. The chat room automatically opens up. You're automatically in the chat room, but you're in there as a guest. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our passion of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, preparedness, and a whole lot more. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com, VermexUSA.com, to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Oh, that sound could only mean one thing. It's time to introduce my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author of many great titles, also the compost queen and sustainability guru, the one, the only,
dear.
Solar power oven representative, Pat Foreman.
What did you have for breakfast?
I had a great breakfast this morning. Actually, Pat, I had a woke up and we got so much work done yesterday, let me tell you what. But I woke up, and part of my labor was here working away this morning right at sunrise before, to beat the heat. And saw him out there, waved out to Philip, came back in and made us some breakfast. Philip, myself, and Jen, and we had some scrambled eggs with some biscuits and honey and some grape jelly. Of course, no high fructose corn syrup in the jelly. And so we had a great breakfast this morning, and then spent a morning answering emails and getting some work done, getting some calls done and whatnot. So I'm in a great mood, and we have a great guest. And today we're going to welcome,
yes,
of course, being the second Tuesday of the month, we always welcome the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. And today we have Jeanette Barringer, and I believe she's calling in from California today.
That's right. Yeah, she's out at the Heirloom Festival. And I called her early this morning. For me, it was 10 o'clock, but for her, she wasn't up yet. So I got she was remarkably gracious having woken her up. But I'm really looking forward to hearing about the Heirloom Festival. That ought to be fantastic.
Yeah,
she does get around. Remember, she just reported from the Heirloom Breeds in France last month. That was a fabulous show, too.
I've heard that about Jeanette. She does get around.
She does. And I hear also up at the Mother Earth News Festival, Jeanette's going to be there week after next, and we're going to be roommates. So how about that?
That's gracious. Boy, oh boy, would I like to be a fly on that wall. That's going to be a...
We're gonna stir up all kinds of pots, I bet, just to keep it going.
Look out, man. That festival's not going to be the same with y'all two rooming together.
Oh yeah, we have so much fun. I just adore Jeanette. She's
wonderful.
She is just so capable and so interested and funny. She's downright funny. So that's a.
I wonder how many. Times
what a combination,
police,
huh?
I wonder how many times the police are going to be called to your to your location. 911. How may I help you? Oh, those ladies again.
Oh, dear. I wish they'd stop laughing so much. I mean, it's annoying. Those of us that want to be grumpy, you know, have happy people around, it's just totally unacceptable.
Gotta
love.
Oh,
well, they'll just have to suck it up, as you would say.
Well, I have a favor to ask to all of our listeners and fans out there, whether you're listening live or listening to the archive, or we have several over-the-road truck drivers that listen as well. I want to say hello to them. Please be safe. And, I need you to pray for rain. We need some rain desperately here. It's been very, very minimal since last October. It's been just horrible with the drought we've had down here. I don't know if it meets the scientific term of drought or not, but we definitely need some rain. It is horrible out there. I was talking to the backhoe operator that was here yesterday doing some work around the house, and he said he's dug trenches and dug holes over the last few months, you know, up to, you know, 10, 12 feet deep, and he said he looks at the different earth as he goes down, and he said it's dry, and it's dry deep. He said he rarely
has
any type of moist soil, even going that deep, and so he says we're in a hurting. Some of the agricultural, just what do you call them? I know that some of the farms are running out of water, but the aquifers that are down below are running dry as well. The farmers draw from to water their crops. Right now, we've got a huge cotton crop going and a huge peanut crop here in Georgia, and it's just it's absolutely horrible. So I just want to ask everybody if you, you know, say a prayer, whatever you want to, you're doing your meditation, you get good vibes, send good vibes our way, whatever your beliefs are. I'm just going to say, hey, you definitely, we're asking for prayers and good thoughts and good vibes sent our way for rain. We really need it. And they're saying even in the next 10 days, we look at getting hardly any, if any. And I need to get my fall garden in. I was talking to my neighbor yesterday, and he's putting in a garden as well. And he said that he needs to put his garden in, but he doesn't see a reason to put it in if we don't get any rain. He wants to wait until we have a rain and then put his garden in. And again, he's a great friend, and he's again much older than wiser than I am. And so I may take his lead on that, even though I'm really chomping at the bit, if you will, to get my garden in. So we'll just have to. I'll keep y'all all posted on the garden, of course, but it's. We need some rain. That's all I can say. But yeah, Pat, yesterday we got so much work done. We got the old barn torn down and hauled off. I got some grading done back 40, so it's a little bit easier to harrow and plant back there. Got several brush piles that we had been working on over the last couple of years picked up and hauled off. Got a big hole dug to bury my propane tank because it's such an eyesore. So we're going to bury that over here by the side of the house, and that'll clear up a little more space for parking from where it was at. Let's see, what else did we do? Got a lot of stump grinding done on the property, and a little bit more grading. Let's see, what else did we have? Had the chimney caps put on, some stainless steel chimney caps. Every year, this house is on the radar for the chimney sweeps, we call them here. I think they're also called another name, chimney thrusts or something like that. But they're migratory birds. They come down and they've got that GPS system, and they always come to this house over the last 4 years. First year we were here, we had them pretty bad. But we had the chimney sweep come in and clean a couple of months ago, and then we had the caps put on yesterday. They look really good, by the way. And we're going to have them come out next week and clean again, because just the last couple of months, they've wreaked havoc of our chimneys again. So we're going to have him come out next week and clean out all four of our chimneys and fireplaces. And so now we know that it'll be done, and it'll be done the last time. And now that we've got the caps on, they'll have to, when they come back next year, they're going to have to find a new place to, Swifts, chimney Swifts, I guess. We call them chimney sweeps down here. I guess it's a southern thing, but he's going to come and clean out the chimneys again, the nesting material and the eggs that are up there and all the chicken poop, and get all that stuff cleaned out of our chimneys and make them safe for a fire if we need to use those. So we've got that maybe going on next week. And then other than just a few other things around the house, that'll be our September projects. Our projects that we wanted to get done are now done. And then October, we may start putting up some fence around here. So we'll hopefully share with y'all our kind of our monthly projects, what we save up and do here on the old homestead. I know that you've got to cut short your day today. Yesterday I was out of the loop because everybody is crazy around here. And today you've got an important meeting, so you're going to be hang around for host chat, maybe a little bit of chickens in the news. And then we'll bring on about 12:30, 12:35, Jeanette Behringer with the ALBC. Also being Tuesday, we've got a great prize from eggcartons.com. Eggcartons.com sponsors every Tuesday, and boy, do we've got a great prize. One lucky listener is going to win a 25-pack. 25-pack, that's a $20 value, 20 plus shipping now, a 25-pack of they're very, very popular, they have no labels on them, blue-colored egg cartons. They're the recycled paper cartons, and the color blue. Sometimes we do pink, sometimes we do neon orange and whatnot, but today, one lucky listener, at about 1:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll have a trivia question, and the correct caller is going to win this 25-count of recycled fiber blue blank egg cartons from eggcartons.com, thanks to Scott Stankus over there. And we've also got that posted on our Facebook page as well. You can follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/TheChickenWhisperer. So I want to send a shout out to Heather. Wake up, Heather! Heather said that she is listening to today's show in lieu of a nap. So how about that? She has chosen not to take a nap, but to listen to the show. So thank you for that. We hope we'll make it worth your while. And she said she was trying to have a hard time keeping her eyes open. So I told her in the chat room, I said, you know, Heather, if you really, really wanted me to, if you asked really nicely, then I could designate today as Naked Tuesday. And that would pep things up a little bit and make things a little crazy. But everybody was like, no, we got to wait till Friday. And just wanted to send a shout out to Heather there. So as the chat room is filling up, guest in the chat room, if you'll take a moment to register, then you can get a creative screen name like the rest of the people over there on the right side of your screen. And then you can come on in and post things and talk to other people and meet some new friends there in the chat room. So let's see. Heather in the chat room says, hey, you better start dancing because you're losing me. Pat, go ahead, start that. Put your tap shoes on, Pat. Come on now.
Oh, I've got my Birkenstocks on. I'm not sure I could tap in my Birks.
Tally in the chat room says that she didn't take a shower to actually listen to the show today. P-E-U. And she said she was actually she's dusty and dirty and smelly, and she's covered with diatomaceous earth from dusting the girls. She just came in dusting the girls, and so she says she's dirty and smelly and covered in diatomaceous earth. Let me tell you what, if that doesn't turn you on, then something's wrong with you. That young lady coming in out from working in the chicken coop, smelly and dirty and covered in diatomaceous earth, let me tell you, it doesn't get any better than that.
So bad.
Hey, you wanted to keep it lively. We got people trying to, you know, listening instead of taking a nap. So got to do what we got to do. I just want to make my listeners happy. So let's get right to. Oh, Tally, that's so
it's
funny.
It's the pale look, the diatomaceous earth pale look. You know, instead of a foundation, you just use diatomaceous earth.
Oh, my goodness. I hope Tally's enjoying that one. Okay, let's get on over here to Chickens in the News. Want to let everybody know that we bring you Chickens in the News daily, and Chickens in the News is brought to you by, of course, Meyer Hatchery in Polk, Ohio. Since 1985, Meyer Hatchery in Polk, Ohio has been a family-owned and operated business. Meyer Hatchery is a year-round hatchery that offers over 160 breeds of poultry, including chickens, ducks, geese, turkeys, guineas, peafowl, and game birds, plus a full line of feed and supplies. Just need a few baby chicks? No problem. Meyer Hatchery will ship as few as 3 baby chicks. Check them out online at MeyerHatchery.com. That's MeyerHatchery.com. All righty, lots of laughing and giggling on there in the chat room. I put, you know, there's just nothing quite like a woman covered in diatomaceous earth. After all, it's all natural.
Keep the bugs away, too. Might be a sanitary measure in some cases.
There you go. There you go. A little instead of the old Estee Lauder powder, you got a little DE and a little under the arm there. There you go. It's nice and natural.
A lot cheaper.
Okay, let me get over here to our chickens in the news. I've posted several on our Facebook page today. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. And this is very interesting. Very, very interesting report. This comes to us from Feedstuffs, feedstuffs.com. And the title is very short, but the report gauges acceptance of urban chicken ownership. Apparently, the USDA APHIS had done some type of report and a survey, and they have a little bit here, and we already posted this on our Facebook page. You can go and go to the official study and link. But the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Animal Health Monitoring System has released the Poultry 2010 report, Urban Chicken Ownership in Los Angeles County, California, 2010. For this report, a questionnaire was administered to determine the percentage of households that own chickens in Los Angeles County and to ascertain the residents' opinions about raising chickens in urban settings. This is the first study I know of this kind, so we're glad to be reporting it to you. Some highlights from the report are, overall in LA County, it's a big city, overall, 1.2%, this is in LA, overall, 1.2% of households in Los Angeles County owned chickens. Of households that did not have chickens, 4.6% plan to own chickens in the next 5 years.
That's huge. That's really a big number.
Absolutely. But that just might be job security for us, Pat.
Good. I could use a job.
Yeah, bring them on here to listening to the radio show. Okay, about 4 to 10 respondents. Okay, 43% slightly agreed or strongly agreed with the statement. I would be in favor of a law in my community that allows the ownership of chickens. So 43%. Okay. About 61% slightly agreed or strongly agreed with the statement, eggs from home-raised chickens are better for you than eggs purchased at a grocery store. Okay. Very good. 61% agreed with that. And about 53% slightly agreed or strongly agreed with the statement, chickens in urban areas will lead to more illnesses in humans. So about half the people still think that were surveyed, chickens in urban areas will lead to more illnesses in humans. So very, very, very interesting. And then you can go, if you read this, there is a link there to the more questions and the official report at the U.S.
Right. Keep in mind, too, these are opinions. They're not facts.
Correct.
I think that's really important to say that. And it would be interesting to do this in maybe 5 years and see if the opinions have changed for whatever reason.
Yep, absolutely. But, 5% of Los Angeles County plan to get chickens the next 5 years. That's fabulous.
Well, I'd like to know the number of households that would be. I'll look that up, see if I can come up with a number.
Okay.
That's huge. I mean, that's huge. A lot.
Okay, this is a great one here. Oakland County 4-H Club to display chicken coop prior to public hearing. Okay, so how cool is that? you got to love it. On September 14th, the Ferndale Planning Commission is holding a public hearing for the revisions to the chicken ordinance in Ferndale. Prior to the meeting, the Oakland County 4-H Poultry Club will be on hand with a constructed coop. Residents in Ferndale may be able to raise chickens in the coming weeks. A proposal to raise the current ordinance, which states a chicken coop needs to be at least 150 feet away from any structure on a property, basically ruling out every home in Ferndale. How many times have we told you this on this radio show? They are not fooling anybody. Just like I can't even say the word on radio. I'll get in trouble. Mayor and City Council of Johns Creek up there in Georgia, just north of Atlanta. You know, who do they think they're kidding? They make this ordinance so absolutely insane, where they know people can't keep chickens, and then they say, "Oh, you're allowed to keep chickens here. You just have to abide by the ordinances that are in place that they wrote to make sure nobody could keep chickens in their city." Come on, people. Who do you think you're fooling? I mean, you know, I may have been born at night, but it wasn't last night, you know? So, let's see. Here we go. Additionally, the new ordinance would allow for a resident to raise no more than 3 hens. Wow, what a lot. And would prohibit roosters. A public hearing is set for September 14th at City Hall, and during which the time the public will hear the changes to the ordinance. Okay. However, prior to the meeting, kids from the Oakland County 4-H Poultry Club, starting at 6 p.m., will be at City Hall to answer questions about raising chickens and will display a chicken coop structure resembling that of what a legal structure might look like for Ferndale residents. So good for you, Oakland County 4-H Club, for being proactive and setting up a chicken coop there in front of the courthouse before the hearing. That is fabulous information. That's good for you. I'm so proud of you guys. We love working with 4-H and FFA, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. And I've got one more here very, very quick. Spartanburg City Council considers allowing backyard chickens. And this one was slow to come up a little earlier when I clicked on it. Let's see if it's any faster here. Yeah, here we go. The Republic from Columbus, Indiana. Spartanburg City Council considers allowing residents to raise chickens but not roosters. Spartanburg, South Carolina, City Council is still trying to decide whether to allow residents to raise chickens. So far, there's been a fight among City Council members on the idea. Councilman Joe Spigner and Mayor Junie White argued during the discussion Monday night. Council members also fought about the idea August 22nd. Spigner says the council has spent too much time on the topic, but the council voted 4-2 to hold a public hearing, perhaps next month. The council had voted in 2009 against allowing city residents to raise hens and roosters. City Manager Ed Mimot has recommended that residents be allowed to keep up to 6 hens, but no roosters. The proposal would require the approval from the neighbors, and that a chicken coop be kept clean. So here you go. Again, totally unconstitutional, having to get approval from your neighbors to do something on your own stinking property. How ridiculous is that? I'm sure in Spartanburg you don't have to get your neighbor's permission to pop out a few kids that are noisy and destructive. I'm sure you don't have to get your neighbor's permission to mow your lawn or crank up that leaf blower, to crank up that Harley, or to have a barking dog in the backyard, or maybe even a bad, vicious, dangerous dog in your backyard, or a cat that's going to go around the neighborhood and poop in all your gardens and walk across your car and leave cat prints across your car. So, and the list goes on. But for some reason, they think you have to get neighbors' permission to have a few chickens. Go figure. But we hope that will pass there in Spartanburg, South Carolina. That we do. And we'll keep you posted on that if we see anything else that comes across the wire. So, there you have it. Any chickens in the news, Pat, before you have to head to your meeting?
Yeah, thanks, Whisper. By the way, I love those two news stories. That one about the 4-H'er and the coop, I think, is really, really right on. I think this next generation is going to help us oldsters understand more about food and where it comes from. And so good for them. They deserve a standing ovation, I would say. And I've got one here, Whisper. We talked about these before, but it keeps coming up because it's still a new idea in so many areas. And this is mobile slaughterhouses keep local farmers moving is the title for this one, and it was written by Adam Ragusa, R-A-G-U-S-E-A, Adam Ragusa or Ragusa, and this is this has been a bottleneck for small farmers for, gosh, ever since I got into chickens and local agriculture. It's easy to raise chickens, and you get the meat, but it's really hard when you get to that processing part. So I'm just going to read part of this, not all of it because it's pretty long, but it says here, it may seem like the summer has slipped away in Boston, but like in the rest of the country too, there are still many more weeks of farm stands and farmers markets to look forward to. And the demand for locally grown food has literally skyrocketed, and this is happening all across the country, as we know. But there's one area where Massachusetts farmers have trouble satisfying demand, and that's also true across the country, which is meat. For example, take chickens. They're really easy to grow. I mean, we know more and more people are understanding how easy it is to grow chickens. But the animals destined for the consumer market have to be slaughtered in a USDA-approved processing facility. Has to be USDA-approved before you can sell at a farmer's market. So currently, there's no legal chicken processing facility available in, believe it or not, in most parts of the country, but especially in Massachusetts, where it's where this article is coming from. But advocates for alternative agriculture, they're saying alternative agriculture, not sustainable, but alternative agriculture, say they've figured out a way around the problem, and that is a mobile abattoir or a slaughterhouse on wheels. So in the past, you know, about before World War II, it was pretty simple. Farmer grew chickens, the farmer killed the chickens, consumer buys the chickens, and everybody eats, and then you repeat the process. But with the rise of factory farming, government regulation also stepped up, and it's now really very severely regulated. So what's happening now is they're creating this, what the vision of one person. This was Jennifer Ashley. Ashley, she went and did a Peace Corps tour down in Honduras. And when she came back, she attended an organic farming program at the University of California in Santa Cruz. And now not only do they homestead, but she is directing Tufts University's new entry. This is what's neat about this article, Whisper, is they've got a new entry sustainable agricultural program. So people that are just wannabes or they really want to figure out more how to get more in touch with their food, there's a program that's starting up there in Massachusetts. And so she's really pleased that she can give back to her community. And before, she used to have to take her birds to get them processed to pretty much Chinatown in Boston, but they got shut down. So now the nearest USDA-approved facility for processing is in northern Vermont. So here's what happens is you got your birds, and by the time you get them to the processing facility, you've already eaten up all your profit if you have to travel more than a couple hours. And it's really stressful on the birds. You can lose quite a few along the way if they're not properly ventilated. And then usually the cost of the USDA plant is about what you would make off the bird as well. So it ends up being a negative profit margin. So they're getting an MPU or mobile processing unit set up. It's a slaughterhouse on wheels. And the cool thing is you can rent it for $175 a day, bring it right to your farm. It's all set up. It's approved so you can sell the birds back in the market. And they got a grant from the where'd their grant come from? It was not the USDA. It was other organizations. So that's what I hope to see more of a trend in the future. Not only for local farmers, but also the little backyard folks that just want to raise say 50 Cornish cross hens or 50 hens for meat birds, or even process some of the old ones so they can have meat that they grew and they knew what they ate. So when you think about it. Whispers, you have, what, a chicken a week or maybe two chickens a week? That's only 100 birds. And you can rent that processing unit, and there you go. You've got your meat for at least those 2 days or 1 day. So did you have any of those down there in Alabama yet?
You mean Georgia?
Georgia?
No mobile processing that I know of. I know there's the one in Vermont. We've talked about that for many a times. And I know that there was one in Vermont that I believe it was $3 a bird that they charged up there when we were helping the young lady up there fight for her chickens, and $175 a day, that's a chunk of change, even though you get to use it all day. And of course, depending on how many birds, it may work out to less than $3 a bird if you had a lot of birds to process at one time. I know that the one in Vermont would come, all you would need is hand them your live bird and a garden hose, and they do everything else. And then
they did the work for $3, yeah.
Yep, $3 per bird, and then hand it back to you, packaged and everything, ready to sell, approved by the USDA. So that's a very, very promising. I know that Whole Foods also was trying to get some research done on that and really looking forward to maybe starting these in some states, but I don't know if it fizzled or what happened with that venture with Whole Foods. I know there was some talk about it maybe a year or so ago, so I'm not really.
Well, I think we'll be seeing more and more of it, plus the whole backyard skills of if you're doing your own meat and don't plan to sell it, just getting that knowledge
right.
from how to do it
Can you,
very humanely and efficiently and sanitarily. So,
Marg Rock was asking
ahead.
In the chat room if you had a link to that or you could share that, the link. I know you're not in the chat room right. Well, no, I don't think you see in the chat room right now, but maybe tomorrow you could put it in the chat room or
sure.
– or post it on your personal Facebook page or
I think if you Google mobile slaughterhouse keeps local farmers moving, it ought to come right up. But I'll be glad to post it tomorrow and get it on there.
That sounds great. Yeah. We would appreciate it. It's about 12:35 and time to take a break. And Pat, was this about the time you had to head to your meeting?
Yeah, this is perfect.
Okay.
So it's an excellent time to exit stage left, I guess you'd say. Who was it, Snagglepuss? Say that?
Yeah.
I'm dating myself there again. The only other thing I wanted to bring up, Whisper, is this coming weekend,
yes.
The 16th, 17th, and 18th is the Pennsylvania Renewable Energy and Sustainable Lifestyles Living Festival, Sustainable Living Festival. And I'll be there doing three workshops. One is Chicken Whispering, Discover the Chicken You Never Knew. That's going to be fun. And the other one is Chickens as Partners Towards Zero Waste, and that's how communities can really help decrease their solid waste management as well as create topsoil. And then Gardening with and for Chickens. And Oprah Henfrey will be there to help me put on these workshops. And I'll be helping with the Back Home booth. So if you want to find me up there at the festival, just come to the Back Home booth. Richard Frudenberger will be there as well. So it's going to be a fun weekend. We're leaving, I believe, Thursday. So I'll be on the road. I'll be on the road Thursday, which I don't think will stop me from being on the radio because usually there's a pretty good phone signal between here and Pennsylvania. Okay.
Sounds great. Very good. Thanks for joining us. And we'll look forward to having you back here tomorrow, being Wednesday. And you have a great meeting and a great day, Pat, and we thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you. It's always a joy and an honor. I love this show. So, as always and forever, may the flock be with you all. Till tomorrow, and God bless. Bye.
EggCartons.com. Your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
This looks like a job for Super Chicken. You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I also have a very special announcement. I'm not going to go into too much detail until probably maybe as early as tomorrow, but I may make the big announcement on Friday, really. But still a work in progress, but I can tell you that here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, thanks to our wonderful, wonderful sponsors. This is factual information. We have given away more chicken coops than anybody on the planet, and we have given away more chicken-related prizes than anybody on the planet, and that is going to continue because I'll get into the details a little bit later in the week, but it has been confirmed that we are going to be giving away another chicken coop during the month of October. So that's just about 15 days away. We'll enter into the month of October. We will be giving a chicken coop away for the month of October. We'll be starting to work on a contest that will allow our Facebook fans, Twitter followers, and of course our listeners to be eligible to try to win this coop. But we will have another chicken coop contest in October. And I will definitely be bringing you more details about from who and the contest and how the contest is going to work probably tomorrow or maybe later in the week, or I may just wait till Fun Friday to make the big announcement. Yep, another chicken coop we'll be giving away here on the radio show. Alrighty, without further ado, it's time to go to the phone lines. Calling in from California is our good friend Jeanette Barringer with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. Jeanette, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you just fine, just fine. I know you're kind of on location there in California. Tell us where you're at and what's going on there.
Yeah, we're actually at the National Heirloom Festival, and we're in the Santa Rosa County Fairgrounds. And as you can hear, maybe hear the animals in the background. This is put on by the owners of Baker Creek Seed Company, and they're a seed company that specializes in heirloom seeds. And this year, they really wanted to try and combine heirloom seeds and heirloom breeds, and for the first time, they're having livestock at their show. And usually their show is in Missouri, and this is the first time they're doing it in California because they have a seed bank in California here. And so it's pretty exciting. We're not quite sure what to expect because it's the first year, but we're up for eyeballs and chickens and livestock and heirloom seeds, and everybody's just setting up right now. It's about 9:30 local time. The festival doesn't open till about 11. But we'll be here today, tomorrow, and the day after from 11 to 8 p.m. And anybody in the area, come on over. It's going to be a real unique event. They've got about 250 vendors here, and boatloads of chickens. If you want to see chickens, we've got quite a variety. Gosh, just a few to name: Shamo, Sumatra, Catalana, Sussex, Naked Necks, Andalusians, French Morans, Polish, Wyandots, Orpingtons, New Hampshire's. I don't want to name the whole list because it'll keep me here a while. But we've got quite a few chickens. And then with livestock, we've got Shetland sheep, Navajo churros, St. Croix, Katahdin. And we also have Santa Cruz horses, which is just about the rarest horse in the United States. And I actually have standing next to me the owner of the Sunshine Sanctuary for Horses and Children, who's largely responsible for conserving the breed. And here she has a couple of really special horses, Cochise and the little foal that he's decided to become the uncle of, named Inshallah. And I was hoping if I could bring her on to talk a little bit about the Santa Cruz horses, because they are from California and they're a very unique breed in being the last of the Spanish horses from California. Sorry if I bring Christina on.
Welcome, Christina. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. This is Christina Nooner from the Sunshine Sanctuary for Kids and Horses. How are you?
We're wonderful. Thank you very much for joining us today. And Jeanette said you were going to tell us a little bit about, well, first you can tell us about your facility there that you've got, that you run, and tell us all about that. We're anxious to hear. And then we'd love for you to tell us a little bit of the history about the horse you have there.
Well, the Sunshine Sanctuary for Kids and Horses, I founded in about 1997 to help kids stay out of trouble through loving rescued horses. And so we were rescuing gentle, usually old, unwanted, crippled community horses, and we were learning about love and compassion and responsibility and no teasing or hitting or belittling. And so the kids would come to the sanctuary and sign a little contract and be on their best behavior and help me love and care for hundreds through the years of rescued community horses. Well, at the same time, there was kind of a lot of controversy over the horses on Santa Cruz Island. And turns out in the late 90s, late 1998, the Santa Cruz horses kind of got kicked off Santa Cruz Island, where they had been for the last 200 years. The conquistadors had brought them over from Spain 200 years ago. Well, there had been some controversy, and they ended up kind of the last 13 horses that had evolved on the island had gotten kicked off and needed a place to live out their lives. And so we ended up taking them in, and nobody knew that one of the mares was pregnant. And a few months later, a little filly was born and appeared healthy in the beginning. Well, it turns out her mother hadn't formed enough of the right immunities to the colostrum, and the filly was dying, and the herd had to kind of abandon her. And by the time I found her, she was just really skin over bones and full of infection and dying. And so the kids and I took her to UC Davis, and she was already 7 degrees below her normal temperature and totally septic and dying. So several months of IVs and, no chance of survival, et cetera. You know, we were just warned. Sunshine made it, and she was so special and so therapeutic for myself and the children and anyone who came out that we decided that all the babies that were born to the Santa Cruz wild herd would come to us. And so we were adopting all the babies at weaning time and gentling them, and the children were learning about parenthood and love and compassion and responsibility over the last 12 years. And a couple of years ago, we sent their hairs off to Texas A&M University, where Dr. Gus Cochran tested them and got real excited because he and I guess everybody thought they'd been extinct for the last 200 years. And so Jeanette Berenger ended up coming out with some other scientific people and looked at them, and turns out we did save a breed from extinction, just some little children in Northern California, Las Molinas, California, had saved this breed from extinction. And by then we had about over 20 of the offspring herd, we call them, the offspring And we had raised a lot of offspring and bred them, knowing that not what we had, but that they were very, very special. And so through the years, the Santa Cruz horses have acted as children's therapy horses and kept kids out of trouble. And the first children have grown up and are veterinarians and serving in the military and great parents because they raise baby horses and taught them manners. And so now we're, Jeanette invited us down here to Santa Rosa, and so we brought Cochise and Inshallah. Inshallah is almost 3 months old, and sadly she's an orphan filly, and as soon as her mother died of cancer at 27 days, Cochise took over and became Uncle Cochise, and so Cochise and Inshallah are here. Cochise was a stallion who sired some foals, and then Dr. Spondenberg at the ALBC suggested that we go ahead and geld him and use him as a children's horse, and so one of his brothers took his place, and the ALBC is giving us some guidance now on the breeding and how to make sure that with such a small gene pool that we can save the breed from extinction.
We're just really
excited to be here.
Yeah, that's a fabulous story on how y'all saved the little one and UC Davis and the kids and yourself. That was
right. Awesome.
And just something right. Like that can save a breed. Now, when you were going through that story, the first thing that came to my mind that I wanted to ask was, how in the world, after these horses being on that particular island for 200 years, whose brilliant idea was it to actually, after 200 years, for some reason, remove them off the island? Was it in the name of building and development? Was it, I mean, what? Why were they removed from the island after being there for 200 years?
I wasn't involved in that controversy and didn't. I was so busy with the Sunshine Sanctuary for Kids and Horses at the time, rescuing community unwanted horses and things, that I didn't really know about the controversy.
Uh-huh.
We heard about it once it was over. During the time, Dr. Karen Blumenschein and some other veterinarians did a 3-year study on the island, and it's from UC Davis, and well, Dr. Blumenschein's practice is in Santa Barbara, but there were two other vets. Dr. Ann Bowling was a geneticist at UC Davis, and they were all trying to convince the powers that be, I don't know who that was all for sure,
right.
But there was something called eminent domain, and the island, because we didn't have the scientific technology at the time to prove that the horses were Spanish or special or unique or rare, and so the horses basically had to be removed from the island one way or the other. And so I found out about it more. I really hadn't planned on taking on any more orphan babies at the time. I have a history of it, but with the kids in the sanctuary at the time, I wasn't going to take on any more orphan babies. But when I saw this filly, I think heaven spoke, and she needed to come to the sanctuary, and so we brought her to the sanctuary, and children and I took her to the UC Davis begging for help, and they wanted to euthanize her on the spot, and I said, but the kids are here, and so they gave her a chance, and she started out with a 0% prognosis of living, but I had a little vision when I looked at her at first and knew that we were going to save a breed from extinction, but I didn't know what the breed was at the time or at anything like that. And children, of course, are just heavenly themselves. And so we put Sunshine in the back seat, and the kids looked at Dr. Blumenschein, and she put a blanket on the baby who was cold, and started doing tests, and Sunshine lived, and now there's nearly 30 of them. Inshallah is over here now, giving me kisses.
And you got a little foal listening in on you.
Yeah, she said, can I be on the radio too? At any rate, so it's been a challenging 12 years with just there's actually been hundreds of children and hundreds of horses come through, but we're almost at 30. We're almost at 20. I think we have 19 breeding mares in the Santa Cruz horses, and then there are 6 stallions, and and 2 new colts were just born, and 2 new fillies were just born. And then we have 3 or 4 geldings to hopefully take around to events and things. What they are is just a real gentle, docile horse that they seek out children and people that have a kind heart and maybe have problems. And so they go up, and they act like any horse, but they're just a little deeper, maybe like the Peruvian Paso, which we found out is one of their close relatives. They just have a real deep energy to them, and they seem to have kind of a connection to special powers, is what it seems to be. And the local county, Tehama County, has sent us the high-risk kids, the healthy kids, but the high-risk kids that have come through have all turned themselves around, and nobody's in prison. Everybody's doing real productive lives and doing volunteer work and rescuing some kind of animal or just doing real good things. So kids who nobody had any faith in have become very responsible, good adults, and then we have a few kids still there. Funding is a huge issue, so with raising so many horses, it's hard to have our children's program continue as much. We're trying to save the breed, and a few children are still around. We brought Jason, a 12-year-old a boy who's training Prancer right now, one of our geldings.
It's fabulous. About how many, since the program started, about how many kids have come through the program that you've helped?
Well, in a sense, you might say thousands, but hundreds have stayed with us. We really only, people, grandmas and the county and the school system and the CPS and all will bring kids out who they think can benefit, and we take them on a tour, and if the child is pretty horse crazy and feels like they want to help, and you can kind of tell in the first tour if we're going to make a difference for them, whereas if they think manure stinks and they would rather have a guitar or something, then maybe we wouldn't be the best. So we take them on that first tour, and if the child wants to help us love and care for horses and maybe learn how to ride, then we take that child on and tell them that we need their love and help, and that the horses would be very sad and miss them if they see. We have a rule that if you get caught teasing, hitting, or belittling, or get suspended, or say curse out your mom, or do those kind of things, then you would be suspended from Sunshine Sanctuary for a month. So the kids know that up front, and the kids who may have begun that behavior quit it instantly because I have to suspend them. So we've never in all these 12 years had to suspend a child for misbehavior. So they quit skipping school and they quit doing bad behaviors because somehow the horses need them and they need to be needed. Children are incredible people, and they're pure, pure love, and the horses feel it, and they, because they are needed by the horses, and because they begin to learn to ride, and they care for the horses, and they start right out learning to groom and lead, and so they feel this sense of being needed and loved by the Santa Cruz horses, and in the beginning it was by gentle old horses, and we still rescue a few here and there, and but the Santa Cruz horses have just proved to we had to save the breed, and so right now, in order to be here, I had 2 Sunshine, grown Sunshine kids who, from San Diego and the Navy, drove up and are manning the sanctuary for me, because we have all of our, we still have all the Santa Cruz horses there except these two, and so they somehow dropped everything in their lives and came up to watch the sanctuary, and then I have Jason here and dedicated volunteers to help us with this trip and to make sure that we're trying to show the world that the Santa Cruz horses need to be saved from extinction.
That's great. That's absolutely great work that you're doing, and helping all those kids, and at the same time helping the helping those horses, and just fabulous work. We really want to commend you for that on both, because you're really, again, doing two things at once, helping the kids and helping the horses as well. So what horses do you have there at the heirloom show?
Well, we have Poochies, who's about almost seven now, and his parents are wild. He was out of El Dorado and Pinocha, the wild horses from the sanctuary, and then we have Inchala, who's out of Rose and Toblerone, and like I say, Rose has gone to heaven a month or two ago, unforeseen things, and so they're here. We wanted to bring Sunshine, but we couldn't find a divider for the trailer, and so we were worried about the baby getting stepped on in all the traffic. And so,
you should tell them about how Cochise decided to adopt the baby the night his mother, her mother died. That's great.
Yes, Rose didn't want to leave the baby. She had gotten cancer on her face and gone through some chemo and surgeries, and we thought we had it licked, and they told us to breed her, and so we bred her, and the cancer came back, so they took out her eye, and then a few months later, we thought we had it licked again, and she was about 7 months along, and we went back to UC Davis, and they said, well, there's nothing we can do, and we don't think Inshallah will live. We named her Inshallah because we heard that in Afghanistan, where some of our grown Sunshine kids are fighting, Inshallah means God willing, and we knew at that time in February that the baby would only be born if God was willing. And so the baby got that name, and Rose continued to deteriorate, but she was great. They are a stubborn, strong horse. They really want to survive. And so she made it through the pregnancy against all odds, and then she lasted 24 days, and she just couldn't. Things were going, she did more than any human, I think, could have done. And finally it was time for her to cross over into heaven. And so when that happened, Inshallah, of course, was panicking and beside herself. And the instant that Rose got her wings, Cochise was in the pasture, and he came running over and trying to comfort Inshallah, who was in a little pen, and we had a bag of tin cans there, and there was just things that he was reaching through the bars and trying to console her, and I believe that Rose gave a message to Cochise to help, and of course I was sleeping with Inshallah. You know, we sleep with our orphans full, but within a week, At first, Cochise didn't really like that Inshallah was trying to nurse on him, and so we had to keep them the panels between them for about 5 days. And when she quit trying to suckle under him, she was giving him little hickeys under there. And a few days later, but he stayed right at her side. He comforted her. He'd rattle those cans if she got. So we ended up taking some of Rose's hair and tying it to a fence. She smelled that, and she thought I was her mama, and Cochise was her Uncle Cochise, and I'm still the milk mother, and Cochise is the babysitter, and thank goodness for him, because the humans are getting a little more sleep than we usually get with orphan bulls. So he babysits, and I bring out the milk, and the kids come, and we have the cutest pictures of Inshallah and kids laying around, and it's just that they're a very gentle-natured horse. And the whole idea was the kids are saving the Santa Cruz horses for future generations. And as it turns out, now our, as we call them, Sunshine grandkids are coming out and learning to ride, and one day we hope to have a drill team of Sunshine grandkids, or we like to ride them bareback and bridleless out in the arena, and we dream of having a drill team, and we have a lot of dreams because we've already shown that they are very therapeutic for any human, really.
Amazing.
So it looks like we're on our way.
What a great story, and doing such great work. It's a little after one. We need to go to a commercial break and honor our sponsors, but we will return here after the commercial break, and we are talking with Jeanette Behringer with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. She's out in California at, I believe it's the heirloom, an heirloom show out there with heirloom seeds and of course, heirloom animals. And we just got done talking with a young lady who has a horse rescue and farm where she works with kids that need assistance and the horses. And what a fabulous story that was. So we'll continue this when we come back on the other side of the break. You're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, and we will return.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com, VermexUSA.com, to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, Manipro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try Manipro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Back. All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It looks like we have about 12 minutes remaining before we'll switch over to the Chicken Trivia Contest today. Tuesdays are brought to you by eggcartons.com, and we've got a great prize for you today. One lucky listener is going to win 25 recycled paper egg cartons in the color blue. These are blank egg cartons, so you can put whatever labels you want to on them. Pack of 25 recycled paper egg cartons from eggcartons.com. That'll be in about 12 or so minutes. We'll go and have a chicken trivia contest. But now it's time to bring back on Jeanette Barringer with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. And she's out in California right now, live on location at a big heirloom show. And Jeanette, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me all right?
I can. I've got a question. How many, as far as, you said you had animals there and livestock and heirloom, are there a lot of vendors there actually selling heirloom seeds at this event?
Oh, absolutely. There's a couple hundred folks selling heirloom seeds and plants and vegetables, and there's all kinds of vendors here. The animals, for the most part, are exhibition. I don't think anybody's selling animals, although, you know, like any show, there may be some that are being sold. But actually, I have another person I'd like to bring on board. Her name's Carol Albrecht.
Okay.
And she's with Joshua Farm, and these are her chickens in the background. Okay. And she's also got some Shetland sheep that I thought if we have a few minutes, she could talk about being here. And here's Carol.
Hey there.
Hey, Carol. Thank you very much for joining us. So what are some of the breeds of the poultry you got there behind you?
We've got speckled Sussex large fowl, and then we've got speckled Sussex bantam, and we brought the Buckeye bantam with us to this show, and we've got them displayed in little wooden houses with yards, so they're not like in cages, which is kind of fun for the public to see them in a more natural setting. And then we also have some Buckeye that are in, at part of the silent auction that's going on here at the Heirloom Festival.
And some, what is your favorite breed you have there?
You know, I am really partial to the speckled Sussex. They seem to be really hardy. They seem to hatch with a high rate of success. They seem to be able to raise their own chicks really well. We really like the speckled Sussex, which is why we keep both the large fowl and the bantam.
Fabulous. Do you breed those?
We do. We do. We hatch. We have a Brincy incubator, and we do a hatch every week, and then we also hatch them naturally. Our farm, we raise about 2,500 broilers a year on pasture. And then we also have about 1,000 layers and eggmobiles that are on pasture and moved to clean pasture. And then we have breeding pens of all the heritage poultry that we hatch in the incubators and then also natural.
That's fabulous. Do you do any shipping of your stock and or ship fertilized eggs to people who might want them?
We do ship fertilized eggs. We do. We have not been shipping livestock at this time, but we do ship fertilized eggs. We have quite a business locally selling the heritage poultry. People can come out to the farm and pick out, you know, what they would like. That way, I like the idea that the chicks don't have to be shipped, and I like the idea that our hatchery is a humane hatchery. Everything that gets hatched either finds a place on the table or a place in someone's home, which is kind of nice.
Do you have a web address, website, or an email that you could, if you'd like to share with people who might be interested in those breeds and getting them from a reputable dealer?
We don't have a website for the poultry. My email address is ckfasinfrank@aol.com. We have a business called, our ranch business is called Chaffin Family Orchard, C-H-A-F-F, as in Frank, I-N, and there's a website there, and you can see the eggmobiles, and you can see the poultry on pasture, and that's ChaffinFamilyOrchards.com.
Fabulous. The Bard Rock in the chat room was saying he hears a rooster in the background. Is that one of yours?
Yeah, I'm standing in the middle of all the pens of poultry here in our display, and then we also brought our Shetland sheep. We've got nine Shetland sheep here with us, and all varying colors. I brought kind of some colors of the rainbow, and this is just amazing what people have brought to this show. I'm really enjoying seeing all these breeds that I didn't recognize. And there are three different colors of sweetgrass turkeys here, and all kinds of really interesting livestock. I'm really enjoying this heritage show. We go to a lot of shows that are just fairs, you know, and you're there for the competition. But here I think people are here to enjoy each other and to just promote the livestock, and it's just a lot of fun.
Tell us about a little bit of the history about the Shetland sheep, and you said and the different colors they come in.
The Shetland sheep are from the Shetland Islands off the coast of Scotland, and for over several thousand years, they were the only source of fiber on those islands. And so the fleece from these sheep had to make everything from ship sails to baby blankets, wedding shawls, rugs. So they have the small sheep, because obviously the Shetland Islands, there's not a whole lot to eat there. So it's a very small sheep, a very hardy sheep. And the fleece comes in everything from a really, really soft, fine fleece, like a 50 micron count, all the way to a very, very, to a much coarser fleece that would be used to make like a ship sail or a rug. And so we feel it's really, really critical to keep all the types of fleeces, because if it's time ever came where animals had to provide all of the fiber, this breed could do it because of the variety of fibers that they have. So, and the colors make it unique, because like for backyard hand spinners, they really enjoy having all those different colors. Like, you know, some people go to the store and they'll pick all these different colored sweaters for their closet. Well, hand spinners pick different colored sheets to have in the backyard so they can make different colored garments. So it's a lot of fun.
That makes sense. That would be a lot of fun. How about that? Got to have the different colored sheep if I'm going to make any other than just one color of goods.
Unless you want to be dying, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That just you just don't think about that, you know. That's fabulous.
You know, there are people that say, oh, well, we should only have fine fibered fleece, and it's like, well, then how are we going to make rugs? You know, fine fibered fleece is going to fall apart when you walk on it, so. It's kind of something to think about that we don't think about. We take it for granted that we can just walk into Macy's or Walmart and pick out what we want. But that may not always be the case. And these genetic resources are critical to have around for the future. We can't lose them. And I think there have been times in our history where all we might have been white sheep without a whole lot of fleece on them. And that would be a very sad thing, I think, to lose that potential to be able to clothe ourselves and furnish our homes.
Do you live very far away from the show? I mean, it's got to be an ordeal getting everything all ready and heading that way.
It was incredible. We live 3.5 hours away, and we brought a 24-foot stock trailer with a truck and then another horse trailer with an SUV. We also brought a bunch of our olive oil. We make mission olive oil from our olive trees are over 100 years old, so we had a lot of olive oil. We had the booth for the olive oil. Then we had all the pens for the sheep and all those little houses I told you about for the chickens, and all the boothing and signage and people. We brought 10 people from the farm, and, of course, all of our food, because we are Weston Pricers. I'm the Weston Price chapter leader up in Chico, and so we brought absolutely every morsel of food that's going into us, because we don't run to McDonald's. And
right.
all of our food comes from the farm. So, it was a big ordeal.
Oh, man. So how many birds did you bring, and then how many sheep did you bring with you?
We brought 29 birds, and we had them all in little crates stacked up in the back of the horse trailer on either side, so you could, like, walk down the center. Little coop cups in the crates with food and water, fresh shavings. Stopped once and rewatered all the birds on the way here. And then when we got here, we had to go through an inspection, because they want to make sure, you know, none of the birds have any diseases or are infecting other birds. So off the side of the fairgrounds, there was a special parking lot where we pulled in, and they came into the trailer and inspected all the birds to make sure they were free of parasites and disease. Uh-huh. And then we offloaded them into, we've got 13 birds in the show, and the rest of the birds are in the display area. And I think 6 of the ones in the display area are actually for sale. And then we brought hatching eggs also, so we've got those too. And then we brought, 8 sheep. And one of those has been sold. The lady's picking him up tomorrow. She has been 10 years without a new ram in her flock. She bought her original Shetland, went 10 years, and last year got Cryptorchid, which is a single testicle, on all her ram lambs, so she'd inbred them too much. And so she called and needed a new ram lamb, so he's going with her tomorrow, and then everything else that's here is just here for display. I've got a really pretty 2-year-old senior ram with the curling horns. He's jet black with black curly horns. And then 2 little Morit, and Morit is what we call red ewe lambs, one of whom has a white stripe down her face. And I've got a gray Gamulgit ram lamb, which is gray with little light spots under the eyes and under the stomach. And then I've got a, which we call an HST ram lamb, almost looks like a Hereford cow. He's white on the body, and then he's got a, or excuse me, red on the body, and he's got a white face with red goggles around his eyes and little freckles all down his front. And then I've got a gray ewe that's kind of white on the outer tips and gray on the inside with a black and white speckled face. And then kind of a pinto-colored ewe that she's black and white spots all over, so with white legs. So I got all the different colors of the Shetlands, and they're little. You know, they weigh anywhere between 50 and 100 pounds, so they're not very big.
Perfect for the backyard spinner if they wanted to spin some. Do you spin yourself?
We do drop spindling and a little bit of spinning. We do a lot of rug making and that kind of thing. Mainly we sell, the main thing that we sell from these sheep is yarn. Every year when we shear in February, which is prior to lambing. And when we shear, we sort all the fleece out into colors. So we'll have a black bin, a red bin, a white bin, and then 2 different shades of gray bin. And then we take all that fleece to a local wool co-op. And it's scoured, which means to clean it. Then it's carded, which is to get it straight. And then it's spun. And we get the yarn back in those colors. And I've got cream, brown, black, light gray, and dark gray. And we sell the yarn in 200-yard skeins. And I've got it here for sale at the festival. So that
now,
way
is,
it's fresh yarn.
Wants
to say something. Just a
okay.
second.
Sure.
Yeah, how much time do we have?
Let's see, maybe about 3 or 4 more minutes. We can squeeze trivia in at the end, so 3-4 more minutes.
Oh, okay. Would it be possible to talk to just one more person? Because it's interesting in talking about the yarn. There's this lady here who has a stand that she's built, this homemade wool carder that's actually quite a bicycle-powered wool carder that's pretty interesting. And I thought if we had a couple minutes, maybe she could talk about that. Hold on a sec. Thank you very much, Carol. And we're walking over here to the wool carder. And here, I'll leave it up to her to explain who she is and what she's doing.
Good morning.
Hi. Thank you very much for joining us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you brought to the show.
Well, sure. My name is Catherine Dolda. I live over in Oakland now. I was born and raised there. I make wool felt. And I was going through a lot of carding, doing it by hand. And I work as a bicycle mechanic, and I thought to put the two and two together. And so I ended up building a bicycle-powered drum carder. I've built 4 of them by now, so I've really worked on the design, and it's really efficient. Just the way the bicycle works is symmetrical, easy biomechanical motion. So I'm pretty excited to have this here and show it off to people.
Absolutely. How did you come up with that idea?
Well, just kind of by need. I had a hand crank drum carder, and it was pretty slow going, and it was really hurting my shoulder. And I thought it was something I could make, and so I just kept tinkering until I got a model that worked.
That's fabulous. Is there anything out there that resembles it out in the market? Is this something you just said, you know what, I have a need for something. The way I'm doing it is not working for me. It causes pain. It's not efficient. And so, hey, this is the way I can do this. Is there anything like it on the market? Or is this kind of your creation? And how have people there at the show received it when they see it and what it's all about?
Oh, it's completely new. There's nothing of this range. Right now the options are you can do it by hand, which is slow going, or send it off to a woolen mill, and they'll do a good job. But the basic processing service is kind of the bottleneck for a lot of home-scale or educational farms that aren't doing it as a business and maybe don't have the resources to send off 20 or 30 pounds of wool. But they want to be able to make things with it at home at their own pace. And
yeah.
So I built a couple for some farm communities down in Marin that the communal use, you know, people that just have a few sheep are able to come and card a fleece on their own. And people are really excited by it. It's just so delightful.
I bet they are. Oh, that is absolutely fabulous. Do you have a website?
I do. It's feltthesun.com. F-E-L-T. Like I felt it. F-E-L-T. T-H-E-S-U-N.
.com. Perfect. That's awesome. Well, that's great. And you must be so proud seeing some of the reactions to the project you thought up and then just kind of created and it's working for you and it can work for others. And that's got to be fabulous seeing other people's reactions to something that you created and made yourself and solved a problem. And that's got to be very exciting for you. So thank you very much for sharing that today and good luck. I hope you have a great, great time at the show.
I will. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
You too.
Yeah, thanks so much for having all of us on. And I don't know if Christina had mentioned it, but for the Santa Cruz horses, they do have a website. It's www.sunshinesanctuary.org.
Sunshinesanctuary.org. I don't think that was mentioned. So thank you very much, Jeanette. And thank you for joining us. It sounds like you're having a blast. I so wish I could be there because I am in the desperate need right now of some heirloom seeds for my fall garden. I'm just, to be honest, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find what I need in time before I plant. So I so wish I could be there.
Well, pencil it in for next year. If this works the way we think it is, this will turn into an annual event.
Sounds fabulous. Well, thank you very much, Jeanette Banger with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy for joining us today, and we'll see you next month, first Tuesday.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. All righty, it is now time for our chicken trivia contest. We've got to roll right into it, brought to you by eggcartons.com. And the winner is going to win a 25-pack of the recycled paper blue color egg cartons. They're not labeled, so you can label them however you wish with whatever labels you want to get or may already have. 25-pack valued at $20 plus shipping. We're going to take caller number 9. Caller number 9 at 347-637-3237. If you know the answer to the following question, the Sussex breed of chicken, the Sussex is originated from where? What country? The Sussex chicken actually originated from where? That's what we're looking for. 347-637-3237 here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. What a great show with Jeanette Banger. Always is. Shouldn't be surprised with that. Again, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer here the first Tuesday of the month when we welcome the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. Our chicken trivia today prize, again, is from eggcartons.com. It's a pack of 25 recycled paper egg cartons in the color blue. They are not labeled, so you can label them as you wish. And the winner, caller number 9, who has the correct answer to the following question we asked, the Sussex chicken, it is a dual-purpose breed originating from where? Originated from where? That's the question. Caller number 9, 347-637-3237. We, of course, will return tomorrow here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We hope you'll be able to join us. Also, if you have not won anything from eggcartons.com in the last 30 days, then you are eligible for this contest. When you call in, make sure you press 1 so we know that you want to participate in the contest. So when you call in, 347-637-3237, then when you'll hear the young lady say press 1 to speak with the host, and to be eligible, you have not won anything from eggcartons.com in the last 30 days, then you are, of course, eligible if you haven't. So 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. Remember to press 1. Just about 2 minutes left in the show, so we'll go to the caller number 9 here in just a moment. But we've got great shows lined up for you the rest of the week. I know tomorrow is Wednesday, and I'm sure we'll have a great guest on for you tomorrow. And then this coming Thursday, it looks like it'll be the third Thursday, which will be another great episode of Poultry Today. with Dr. McCray, and then another fun Friday. And don't forget, we're giving away a chicken coop again here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer in October. Hopefully, I'll share more details with that with you here a little bit later. All righty, let's go to the phone lines here. Area code 916. 916, you're on the air with Andy, the Chicken Whisperer. Tell us your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, this is Andy in Sacramento.
Andy in Sacramento, how lucky you are. How lucky you are today for calling in. Call number 9, and call number 8 was area code 978. And so just to give you an idea, you almost were there, 978. So where was the Sussex breed chicken originated from?
In England.
England, that is absolutely correct. You are correct, it was England. And so send us over an email, and the topic, put eggcartons.com prize or eggcartons prize, and then again, your name, shipping address, phone number, and your email address. Name, shipping address, phone number, and email address for us, and we'll get that to Scott, and we'll get that out to you from eggcartons.com. Alrighty, thanks. On behalf of Pat Foreman and myself, we'll see you tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in.